So praise the Lord. James chapter 1, if you will. James chapter 1, been going through the book of James and started last week in this series here. And we just barely touched on verse 1. And tonight we're just barely going to touch on verse 1 and verse 2. And there is a lot packed into this book. We're talking about that before service here this evening. And just so much truth in this book here. And Brother Sean, when I was talking about the book of James, he told me, he said, have you ever heard of it referred to as Christianity in overalls? And I said, I'd heard that one other time, that is exactly what it is. Putting to work exactly what we say we believe. And so let's ensure that we are trusting the Lord and doing the work that we should be. James chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 is what we're going to be reading here this evening. And notice here, James chapter 1, starting in verse 1, the Bible says this, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. Now we'll read verse 3 just for context sake. It says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Now, there is so much to be said about all of this, and especially there in verse 3 as well, but we're not going to get to that tonight. Lord willing, we'll get to that next week. Here in verse 1 and 2, Lord willing, we will tear these apart this evening with the help of God and see what the Lord has to teach to us tonight. So let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, and I do thank you, Lord, for the assurance of salvation. I thank you, dear God, that as a 7-year-old boy, I trusted you as my personal Savior, and Lord, that I have an eternal home in heaven that's waiting for me, Lord, and I'm safe and secure in your hand. I thank you for the truth that no man can pluck me out of the hand of God. Lord, I do thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross for my sins and for every one of us, Lord, and I pray that if there's anyone here that's never trusted you as their Savior, Lord, that they would do that tonight and understand that that they can be there when the roll is called up yonder by trusting in you. Lord, I pray you'd be with me tonight as I strive to rightly divide the word of truth. I pray that you would guide and direct my thoughts and my words and help each one of us, dear God, to just learn from your word tonight and draw closer to you. And we ask all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, here in the book of James, of course, as we discussed last week, the penman of the book of James is this man James, which is no other than the half-brother of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You read there in the very beginning, though, it says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. We talked about his humility last week. We talked about how he did not refer to himself as the brother of Christ, but we know just through different studies and different verses that we read last week that he is, in fact, the half-brother of Christ. Christ referred to him as such, and he said, behold, my brethren and my mother, and many different times there. But this man, James, was a humble man. He was a man that was just full of humility, and this man knew that he was here to do one thing, and that's the same thing that we as believers are called to do, and that is to promote our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to get his gospel out, not trying to let people know who we are, but what Christ did for us. And praise the Lord, we have the opportunity to do that. It's our job to get the gospel out to this lost and dying world. Anyone that's trusted Christ as their Savior, that is their responsibility, and we can do that through the power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, this world we live in is lost and dying. It's full of sin, it's weary with sin, and it needs a Savior. Well, praise the Lord that he already came and he died for their sins, just like he died for ours as well. And let's be faithful in getting that truth out. But as we continue into verse 2 tonight, and as we look at this verse, if we are honest with ourselves and honest before the Lord, this is going to make us, humanly speaking, scratch our heads a little bit. When you see the two things that are together in verse 2, we want to wonder, wait a second, how can that be? How can those things exist together? And what we see here is the concept of joy, but also trouble in the same verse. He says, count it all joy, not if you fall into diverse temptations, but when you do. We see here there is joy and there's trouble at the exact same time. How can that be? We're going to talk about that this evening. In the very same breath, he says, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations." So tonight, I'd like to walk through, if you will, a mathematical equation. How many in here like math? You like math? My hand's only up here just for reference sake, if you will. I don't like math. It's not something that I'm terrible at, but I'm also not great at it. I don't love math. There's many people out there that do. But if you do like math, well, we're going to walk through a math problem tonight. If you don't like math, well, we're going to walk through a math problem tonight. Amen. Either way, this is what we're doing this evening. But I want to preach to you a message I've entitled this: Believers plus problems equals joy. How can that be? How can a believer who is going through problems, and all of us have problems, as Brother Kaiser says, if you don't have problems, you have problems, amen? But the truth is this: how can a believer that has problems, how can they also have joy? You know, this world we live in has problems. It does. It's full of problems. Every one of us throughout today or even earlier this week, we've all dealt with many different problems. But it is my prayer that the Lord will help us to understand, notice, that joy through trials is a personal choice. It's a mindset, is it not? Trusting in God through every trial. Do you know it doesn't matter what trial you go through? If you trust the Lord through it, you can have joy through that trial. Why? Because God is with you. As believers, the Lord Jesus Christ, as I mentioned this morning, He said, "I will never leave you nor forsake thee." That's what He said. So we can have joy through the trial. So believers plus problems equals joy. Now, as I was growing up and going through school, of course, I was homeschooled most of my school age years. I went to a public school for preschool and kindergarten, and then I went to a Christian school there in West Plains, Missouri for kindergarten and first grade, and then I was homeschooled the rest of the time. But through homeschooling, we learned many different things. We learned there's many blessings. We also learn there's many challenges. Amen. I praise the Lord for the opportunity to be homeschooled. But just like anything, it had its challenges. As we would go through each day, there was a daily amount of work that we had to complete. We did the ACE program, which I don't know if it's still that way, but at that time it was in every subject you did, you had to do 4 pages in that subject. And you did that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Well, what we did is we did 5 pages each day, and we were able to be out of school on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Amen. It was great. There were blessings to homeschooling. I loved that aspect of it as well. Most days, we were also done by about noon or 1 o'clock. We were done with school completely. We started our schooling at 8 o'clock. We had to get up at 7 o'clock, do our chores, start school at 8 o'clock, and we were done by lunchtime or shortly thereafter. There were some great benefits to homeschooling. I thought it was wonderful. However, some unique challenges arose, mostly centered around our math. And not because the problems were just too hard for anyone to understand or anything like that, but the truth is, when you're homeschooled, especially with ACE, your teacher is, of course, you've got the paper there that you're working through, but my teacher was my mom. I love my mom to death. She's not a math major. Guaranteed, she is not. She will do her absolute best. However, math is not her strong suit. We'll leave it at that. However, my dad is very good at math. Well, Dad had to work throughout the day. We had the furniture business, and he was very busy doing those types of things. And many times, especially when we got into more complex mathematical problems and those things, we would have to do everything else. And then when Dad got home from work, it was time to do some math. Now, there were certain problems that he could just walk us through and show us how to do that. But many times, here's what he would do, especially for a very hard problem, if you will, something that we couldn't work our way through. He would say this: "Okay, here's the problem. Here it is. And I'm going to and every kid would enjoy this. I'm going to give you the answer. Now, I said, this is great. I'm going to be done with school in no time. My dad's given me all the answers. He said, here's the answer. Now, I want you to work it out and come up with that answer, and I need to see your work. Many times I would look at that problem and I would say, how can what I see up here become that answer there? And I would work it out all sorts of different ways. You know how many times or how many ways there was to work it out to come up with the right answer? There was only one way. Only one. And I had to keep going and going and going, trying to figure out that answer. I knew what the answer was, but it was how I got from point A to point B to get that answer. If I followed the right steps, I could get there. Well, the same thing is true when we look at this passage here tonight. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. There is a way for us as believers to have joy even though we're going through problems. There is a way, but only if we follow what God's word says. You know, problems are going to arise. These problems should not end in discouragement, though. They should end in joy. But I can guarantee it's going to take work to get there. So let's walk through what some of these people were going through here and see what the Lord can teach us here this evening about having joy through our problems. Notice, first of all, the people being addressed here. Here in James chapter 1, look at the end of the verse. It says, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. And then there in the beginning of verse 2, it says, my brethren. So we see a couple of references here of people being addressed, and this is James speaking. He's going to speak of joy and patience and all of that, but who's he speaking to? Well, he's speaking to believers. If you've trusted in Christ here this evening, then understand you are a believer. Therefore, that is the same truth that applied to them also applies to us because we're living the same Christian life that they were to be living. And he says here, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. But notice it says to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. These were scattered believers. These were ones, though, who had trusted Christ as their personal Savior. And he's telling them, not that everything is going to be all fine and good and all of that. No, he's telling them temptations are going to come. Trials are going to come. Heartache is going to come. You're going to go through these things. But when you do, count it all joy. He says, when you go through those things, understand that God is with you and count it all joy. You know, something that I truthfully believe has been the Achilles heel, if you will, of biblical Christianity. It's this prosperity gospel stuff that's being preached around the world today. Because that is this, what these prosperity gospel people will teach is this. It doesn't matter what you do or how you live and all of that. Just try to be a good person. God understands it. And you'll never have to go through any problems. Just come here or just send your money here or just be involved in these things. And everything will be great. That's not true biblically when it comes to believers. No, quite the opposite is true. The Lord Jesus Christ, he said that in this world, ye shall have tribulation. It's going to come. It's going to happen. The Bible teaches that when a person gets saved, they have a home and in heaven and it's waiting for them. Eternal life is the current possession of every believer. It's not something we will get. It's something we already have. We just haven't laid our eyes upon it yet. But we have an eternal home if you've trusted Christ. It's guaranteed, but we are going to have problems in this life because we live in a sin-cursed world and because we have a sin nature. Problems are going to come. It came in these people's lives. We'll talk about that here in just a moment. But it came in their lives and it's going to come in our lives as well. What are these televangelists and other prosperity gospel preachers have in common? Their message is this, that if you, what they say, follow God by following what they say, not what the Bible says, but following what they say, send them your money, tune into their message. They say this, your problems will disappear. Well, all of us would love our problems to disappear, wouldn't we? I would like nothing more than to go through life and have no problems. I'd like nothing more than just go through one day with no problems. That would be wonderful. But I can't expect that to happen because we're going to have trials. We're going to have tribulations. When ye fall into diverse temptations. You know, anyone who says that your problems will disappear because you are a Christian, understand this. They are speaking blasphemy because they're calling the Lord Jesus Christ himself a liar because he said the opposite of that. He said you're going to have problems. Look at the book of John, if you will, John 16 and verse 33. John 16 and verse 33. Here in John chapter 16 and verse 33, the Bible says this, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." If you're trusting in the Lord today, understand he's already overcome the world. You're going to go through trials. You're going to go through tribulations. You're going to go through all of those things. He says, "But these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace." It's not through some preacher. It's not through some church or something like that. No, our peace comes from knowing the Lord. That's where our peace comes from. Our trials are going to come. How do we have joy through those trials? By trusting the Lord through those things. He said, "I've already overcome the world." Don't be so downhearted by things that are happening. Don't be so cast aside by all of these bad things in the world. He says, "No, trust in me. I've already overcome the world." We need to trust in him. These people that were being addressed here, they were going through some trials. They were scattered abroad. Notice number two this evening, notice the problems that were mentioned, not only the people being addressed, but the problems that are mentioned here. Look in verse 2 of our passage. "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations." Everyone has problems. Everyone has something they're dealing with. Some are some personal problems. Some things are brought about by others. Some are because of our own crazy choices. But we all have problems we're dealing with. And James is speaking of these problems here. And let's consider some of these problems as we see them in Scripture and how these people dealt with them. Notice in James 1:1, we see a problem there. It says, "To the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad." Now you may look at that and say, well, he's writing to some people that are scattered throughout. He's writing maybe to some churches like we see in the pastoral epistles through the New Testament, as the Apostle Paul would write a letter to this group and it would circulate to this group and so on and so forth. That's not what's going on in this passage here. When he says scattered abroad, he's not talking about people who have just moved to these different areas and he's just trying to encourage them to keep going. No, the people that are being addressed here were believers, but the word scattered is not just saying that they were apart from one another because they've moved to different places or they chose to live in those areas. The word scattered is talking about the persecution that scattered them. There was persecution that came to the church, and because of that persecution, believers were scattered all over the place, literally fleeing for their lives. In today's world, there are some places that have what would be considered a mother church. And this mother church is a place that is where the preaching and all is live and all of that. And they have other places that are hours away, and they consider them satellite churches, if you will. And people come and watch it on a screen and all of that. And listen, I praise the Lord for our live stream, but live stream is not church. It is not gathering together with the brethren. It is not coming together as the Lord commanded us to do. I praise the Lord again for live stream. I love being able to get that. If someone's not feeling well or they can't get out because of physical difficulties, it's a wonderful thing to be able to have live stream. Amen. But it's not church. What we see here is not James writing to people that were just satellite groups, if you will, satellite churches of some mother church. That's not what's going on here. what we see as we look at this scattered believers, understand that James was not just some main church pastor writing to these satellite churches throughout an area. This was James, the half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was writing to the believers who had literally been split apart because of persecution, and James was burdened to these people. These people had trusted Christ as their personal Savior, and persecution came in, and as soon as that persecution came in many of these families, they were split apart. And now they're spread all over the place. And James is trying to encourage them and trying to let them know you do not have to give up hope. The same Lord and Savior that saved you from your sins, you can count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, because he's with you where you're scattered at now, just like he is with you when you were here in Jerusalem. Jews were getting saved at that time, and they were being heavily persecuted for believing in Christ, so much so that they were forced to relocate. At one time, they had a great church to attend. At one time, they had a family of believers that was around them. At one time, they were attending services like they were taught from God's Word. They were soaking in the preaching of God's Word. But now their world has been turned upside down and they're scattered. You know what I truthfully believe was in many of these people's minds in the way that they were scattered? Fear was there. They were in uncharted waters. They had never had this happen before. Up until that persecution, they were just going about. They were just living life and following the traditions of man and all of that. But now they've trusted Christ as their personal Savior. And now their friends and their family and different ones, they're all coming at them, and some of them fleeing for their life because of persecution. And James is writing to them and he says, your hope should not have been in this church anyway. Your church or your hope should not have been in the pleasures of the things that you were enjoying at that time. Your hope should not have been in just being around these people. No, your hope is to be in the Lord. And if your hope is in the Lord, it doesn't matter where you go, how far you're scattered. When you fall into diverse temptations, you can have joy. You can. And he's encouraging them here to continue to have joy. You know, we should not be surprised when we come under heavy persecution, because that's exactly what happened in the early church. You know, we use different things as far as technology and all of that, and using those things to get the gospel out. And I think it's a wonderful opportunity that we have. But church, we're not striving to be a 21st century church. We're striving to be a first century church, because that's what the Lord established. We want to be exactly what the Lord says that we should be in the Bible. That's what we want to be. It doesn't matter how culture has changed and all of those things. What the Bible says, this is how the church is to live. We need to live that way. Why? Because that's what the Lord's told us to do. Many of the things that we fall into, if you will, these diverse temptations, many of those things are we look at as the worst thing that's ever happened to us. And, well, I don't know why I'm going through this, and I don't know why I have to go through these things. But the truth is, many of those things we may not have been going through if we would have just followed what the Bible said. Now, there's some things the Lord puts us through, and we'll talk about that here in a little while, like with Job and men like that, that he put them through trying to test them. But many of the things we go through are simply because we did the exact opposite of what the Bible told us to do. And we go through trials because of that. In the early church, they went through persecution. We see the same thing mentioned in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1. Turn over there just a couple of pages to the right. 1 Peter chapter 1. And look at verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers, notice, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Notice they were scattered there as well. Why? Because persecution was happening. Because they were not living in some easy time. They didn't have the religious freedoms that we have and that we enjoy here in America. They were scattered, but they're told here that they can have joy. We read that here in the book of James. Book of Hebrews is written to the Jews who had trusted in Christ as their personal Savior, and they left the synagogue, and they were under severe persecution by Jewish leaders who had refused Christ and clung to the observance of the Mosaic law. But here we've got the Jews and ones that had trusted Christ as their Savior, and they're under severe persecution by the religious crowd. Those are the ones that were persecuting them. Those were the ones that were saying that they were turning the world upside down, that they were causing a riot in the city. What were they doing? They were just preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were not going out and being rude to people or anything like that. No, they were saying, this is what the Lord Jesus Christ did. He came and he died on the cross. He was the Messiah that we were waiting for, and he shed his blood for our sins. All you have to do is trust in him as your personal Savior, and he'll take you to heaven. Well, that sounds like a mean message, doesn't it? No. But the people were not happy about it. Why? Because it went against their tradition. And it brought to the front of their mind that there was an authority that was above them. And if they didn't trust in Christ as their personal Savior, they would die and go to hell. People don't want to hear that. But it's the truth. All of these people here were scattered simply because they trusted Christ. The three Hebrew children were mocked and ridiculed and thrown into the fiery furnace because they believed in the Lord, yet the Lord protected them. As we read this morning about a couple of different instances, Daniel thrown into the den of lions, yet he was protected. David was forced out of his own kingdom, yet the Lord remained faithful to him. Time and time again, we see the people of God going through trials and going through difficulties. Many were in prison. John the Baptist, the Apostle Paul, the list goes on and on. Even our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was wrongly accused, was persecuted. But we can have joy. Notice also here, notice the diversity of the problems. Not only that the people were scattered, but there was a diversity in the problems. That word diverse, it means many different kinds. You know, there will always be something to deal with, something to fix, something to add to our life, if you will, some things to subtract from our life. But the word diverse, it does not only mean different trials, but it also speaks of the number of trials, many of them. Well, that's encouraging, isn't it? And we're going to go through many trials, not only different kinds of trials, but we're going to go through many of those. That's what James is telling them here. But he's telling them, you've trusted in Christ as your personal Savior. You've been scattered abroad, and your world has been turned upside down, and you're going to go through many different problems, and you're going to go through many problems. But you can still have joy, because if the believer is trusting in Christ, it doesn't matter whether they're on the mountaintop or whether they're in the valley. If this believer has trusted in Christ and they're living the faith life, understand, they can have joy. They can, no matter what they're going through. It's always something to deal with, and many times trials will come one right after the other. Something we've all used is a statement like this: I just can't catch a break. Just go through one thing after the other after the other. It seems as soon as we get one thing fixed, then another thing breaks, and all of that. We've all been there. Many are there even at this time this evening. There is no area in life that is immune to difficulties. None whatsoever. We will all go through that. We must realize that until we are in the presence of our Lord in heaven, we will continually deal with problems, continually deal with difficulties. We cannot stop the problems and difficulties in this life. We're going to go through them. But what we can do is decide to trust the Lord through them, and we can have joy. Oh, you can live your life discouraged. You can live your life just going through life and acting as though your spirit animal is Eeyore off Winnie the Pooh, amen. You can act like that. You can do that. Many believers do that, and they go through life discouraged, and they don't do anything for the cause of Christ. Or you can see that we're going through things. I've trusted Christ as my Savior. He said he will always be with me. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. Therefore, I'm going to trust in him, and I'm going to have joy through these things. What are we going to do? Are we going to go through life discouraged? You can make that choice. But we can also make the choice to go through life with joy. You know, look at the word temptation that we find there in verse 2. This word is an interesting word because it has a double meaning. When you look at the word temptation, oftentimes, biblically speaking, when we look at the word temptation, I think of the Lord Jesus Christ when he went into the wilderness and he was tempted three times, and the devil came to him and he tempted him these three different times, and every time the Lord answered, "It is written," and gave him scripture, and the Lord did not give in to that temptation, and rightfully so. We think of temptation as always being something evil, but it's not always evil. Not the way that this temptation here, that this word is here in the Bible. It can mean temptation from God, which is a test with the intention to improve us, which is not a bad thing. That's a good thing. It may not feel good, and we may not enjoy it, but the Lord knows, excuse me, what is best for us. Some of our diverse temptations are there to test and improve us, but then there's the other type of temptation. And that is the temptation that the Lord will never give us. Now, sometimes the devil will give us that, and the Lord will allow things to happen in our life, but the Lord himself will never tempt his children to do wrong. He will not. He will put us through a test like he did with Job and all of that, but this other temptation is a solicitation to do evil. The Lord will never do that. He will not. But there's someone else that will. And that's Satan himself. He'll tempt us to do evil. He will. He wants us to give in to temptation. And as we read in the book of Job, it clearly points out that Satan will do that. And the Lord will allow some things in our lives. Notice there in the beginning of verse, or in the middle of verse 2, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into temptation." This word is speaking of a surety. It's going to happen. Look at Job chapter 5, if you will. Job chapter 5 and verse 7. Job chapter 5 and verse 7. Notice here in Job chapter 5 and verse 7, the Bible says this: "Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward." The Bible also says that a man is of a few days and full of trouble. The trouble is going to be there. It's going to be diverse things. It's going to be coming from all different areas. It's going to be problem after problem after problem. But as we look at our life and we see that, okay, I'm a believer and I see that the outcome of these things should be joy. So how do I get there? The answer is simple. Trust in the Lord through those problems. Don't allow Satan to discourage you. Don't allow Satan to keep whispering in your ear, "Well, if God really loved you, he wouldn't put you through these things." No, rather, let's look at Job here when he said this: "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." The joy that we see through Job, not because he never faced any problems, but because he trusted the Lord through problems, that joy is something that I want to be a part of my life. I want to have that joy. And we can count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations. That's the only way that believers plus problems can equal joy, is if we're trusting the Lord in the middle there. As I talked about that, the math problem that my dad would give us, we'd have the problem here and the answer here. There's only one way to get there. It's not through some psychiatrist that we're going to have joy. It's not through some medication or something like that. No. The joy of the Lord is my strength, the Bible says. The joy of the Lord. Let's trust in him through our problems. And then notice, lastly here this evening, the joy that is to be present. So if we are believers, we've trusted in Christ as our personal Savior, knowing that he shed his blood for us, we were all sinners, Christ paid our sin debt. We've trusted in him as our personal Savior. And we know that there's joy over here. And we know that we have to trust God here. Well, let's learn about that joy that's there at the end. Let's learn about that joy that is the sum, if you will, of the problem. Verse 1 and 2 of James chapter 1, it says this, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Now, we've discussed, if you will, a mathematical problem. We've discussed that James addressed believers. He talked about the problems they're going to be facing, and yet he still says to count it all joy. Well, how can that be? If we all know that we're going to be inundated with problems, how can we have joy through those things? Well, at the end of verse 1, we see a word there, and that word is this, greeting. Now, when I first read this verse, I looked at it and I said, okay, well, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. I said, well, it's just a greeting, if you will. It's just him saying hello to that. Well, I thought that until I was studying this out here. We find this word here, the actual word greeting, is only found 3 times in the entire Bible. Every time it's in the New Testament, and this word is not just a hello as we would normally read that word. Now, the root word for that, for this word greeting, the Greek word is this, kairo, which means this, be cheerful. That's what he's saying here. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, be cheerful and count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. You know, we as believers, as we go through life, we shouldn't walk around with our bottom lip dragging the ground. We should be cheerful people. People should see that we love living life for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We shouldn't walk around as just woe is me. No, it shouldn't be that way. He's telling them here, be cheerful. We also see it over in Philippians chapter 1, if you will. Turn over there. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 18. Notice we see the root word of that word greeting and to be cheerful is found in this verse as well. In Philippians 1:18, it says, what then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. That word greeting that we read there, yes, it means to be cheerful, but it's also talking about having a spirit of rejoicing. He's telling them, look, I know what you're going through. I know you've been scattered abroad. I know there's persecution. And don't forget here, James was still living in the place and where the persecution was going on. He was the pastor of that church. He knew exactly what they were going through. And he says, but continue to be cheerful. Continue to count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Continue to trust the Lord. Continue to do that. That's what this joy is here. Throughout the New Testament, that root word, kairo, is found over 75 times. And in most of those times, it's referring to believers when they're going through challenging times, and it's encouraging them to continue to rejoice. Rejoicing not because of the absence of trouble, but through their struggles, through their difficulties, through their trials. James, as well as anyone, knew how difficult it was to rejoice through trials, humanly speaking. But he also knew that in order to have a proven faith, in order for this, this math equation to work out properly, was for him to be in complete reliance on God's will for his life. In God's plan. You see, when a believer relies on God through their trials, remember we talked about our faith this morning? When we rely on God through our trial, that's exercising our faith. That's what that's doing. But rejoicing is contrary to our makeup, isn't it? Rejoicing is a lot different than the way that we usually meet our troubles. I don't think there is anyone that in their right mind that goes into a struggle and says, I'm so glad I'm going through problems today. No. But what we can say is this: I can't stop the problems. I can't stop the difficulties. I can't stop the struggles. I know they're going to be here. So I can make the best of this situation by trusting the Lord through this. We can do that. And that's what God's will is for our lives. Look back at the book of Exodus, if you will. Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16, and we're going to read verse 7 through 10. This is oftentimes our mindset towards our troubles and difficulties. But this cannot be the mindset if we expect there to be joy through those things. Here in Exodus chapter 16, verse 7 through 10, the Bible says this: "And in the morning, then you shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full. For that the Lord heareth your murmurings which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses spake unto Aaron, say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud." Notice in that verse there, they were coming and murmuring to Moses and Aaron. They were coming and murmuring to the ones that God was working through in their the human leadership, if you will. And Moses and Aaron said this: they may be complaining about their situation. They may be complaining that that they're going through trials or difficulties. Well, I'm hungry and I'm thirsty and all of those things. He said, but they're not murmuring against us. He says, they're murmuring against the Lord. If you want to have joy through your trial, we cannot be murmuring against the Lord. We can't be acting as though God doesn't have a plan, acting as though God doesn't know what he's doing. Listen, I know we don't have all the answers. Only God has those things. But what we can do is when we're going through trials and we're going through struggles and all of those things, to say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I don't understand all of these trials. I don't understand all of these difficulties. I don't know why I'm going through this pain. I don't know why this person thinks this about me. And I don't know why this financial difficulty is here. I don't know why all of these things are happening to me, but Lord, you know exactly why they're happening. And Lord, I want to trust you. That needs to be our mindset. Listen, church, the Lord, I truthfully believe, is trying to help us, and especially in the area of our faith. We've been going through the book of Hebrews, and the Lord's been challenging my faith, and even here in the book of James. This is a work of faith, if you will, to have joy through struggles, to have joy through trials, and the Lord's trying to help us. It's a truth we need to get a hold of, and I believe he will help us. We know believers will go through trials. We know there's going to be diverse things, different things, and many things that we will go through. But whether or not we are living in the joy of the Lord is not dependent upon those trials. Whether or not we are living in the joy of the Lord is dependent upon our reaction to the trial. The trial's coming. You may be going through a trial right now. Well, I just don't feel like I have the joy of the Lord. Well, then ask the Lord, what are you trying to teach me through this trial? Lord, draw me closer to you through this. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. God knows what's best. We need to be allowing the Lord to help us, to train our minds to praise him and understand that God has it all under control. James says here, count it all joy. He's telling them, rejoice. I know you're scattered. I know you're going through trials. I know you're going through pain. I know that you're in uncharted territory. I know that you've never been through something like this before. But don't allow the devil to defeat you. Don't allow your mind to go into a place that it shouldn't go. He says, no, rejoice through those things. Be cheerful through those things. Count it all joy that you're going through those things. realize God is in control. He's telling them, don't give up because you're scattered. Don't be downhearted because times are tough. Don't be allowing Satan to steal a blessing from you. Count it all joy. And we can all do that. I want to read just a few passages here this evening and we'll be done. Look at Isaiah chapter 51. Isaiah chapter 51. Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 11. Isaiah 51 verse 11, the Bible says this, "Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion." Notice, "and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away." Notice this everlasting joy that we're reading there. "Joy shall be upon their head, and they shall obtain joy." There is no joy on this earth that even comes close to the joy that we're going to have in heaven. But we can still live in the joy of the Lord while we're here, trusting Him through our trials. Look at Psalm chapter 100. Psalm 100. Psalm chapter 100. We're going to read the whole chapter, all five verses. Amen. Psalm 100, it says this, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." Let me stop there for just a moment. You know, many believers are living downhearted today, and you never hear them making a joyful noise unto the Lord. If we start giving God the glory the way that He deserves the glory, we'd have a lot more joy in our life. Praising God, not because He takes away trials from our lives, but praising Him simply because of who He is, simply because of how good He is to us, simply because of the way that He provides for us. Verse 2, "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." Like verse 2 when it says, "Serve the Lord with gladness." Sounds like rejoicing, doesn't it? Serve the Lord. Stay faithful to the Lord. Everything that we do, let's serve Him with gladness. Let's make a joyful noise unto the Lord. One more passage here. Psalm chapter 30, verse 1 through 5. Psalm 30 and verse 1 through 5. Psalm chapter 30 and verse 1 through 5. The Bible says this, "I will extol Thee, O Lord, for Thou hast lifted me up, and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto Thee, and Thou hast healed me. O Lord, Thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. For His anger endureth but a moment. In His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." Church, trials are going to happen. They've been happening since the beginning of time. Struggles are going to come our way. But we as believers can have the joy of the Lord if we rejoice, if we count it all joy, trusting God's plan through it, rather than just looking at these little details and the uncomfortability that we're going through. No, don't look at those things. Say, "Lord, humanly speaking, these things may not be comfortable, but I know You're trying to teach me something. And let's count it all joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." Amen. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse